Grace, mercy, and peace from our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. Amen. So there's a kind of a contrast in the faith between of what we heard last week's reading and this week's reading. Last week, Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees who, if you remember, they're not all bad, yet they questioned why, they questioned Jesus about why his disciples did not live according to the traditions of the elders. The faith of the Pharisees was in God, for sure, but their faith was consumed by keeping the traditions so they might be acceptable to God. And Jesus told them that evil or defilement came from within and not by anything on the outside going in. The faith of the Pharisees was entangled with actions of self-preservation and the chance to encounter God. Now, this week, we have a different view of faith from a totally different group of people. This week, we hear Jesus' interaction with the Gentile woman of Syrophoenician origin. Her faith is in Jesus because of what she heard of what Jesus had done. And this is important to notice. Her faith was not based on the traditions that she kept. Her faith was not based on what she had done or who she was, like that of the Pharisees. The faith of the Syrophoenician woman and the others Jesus encounters is based on what God has done. And their faith might just have changed Jesus' plan of God's comprehensive plan for all of creation. Again, I think that Jesus possibly was an introvert. At least according to Mark's gospel, everywhere you turn, he's trying to get away from people. Today, we hear the same thing. He's trying to get to a place to be alone. In Mark 7:24, we hear Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. He has gone out of his way to find some place that is quiet. To a place without Judeans or those of the Jewish faith, he traveled north where most people were Gentiles. And if you recall, he had been struggling to get some downtime ever since he began his ministry over five chapters ago. And he had not truly stopped ministry since feeding the 5,000, which was two chapters ago. So he sets out and went away to the region of Tyre, which was populated by mostly Gentiles, assuming he would be able to rest and regroup with the disciples, basically trying to put some distance between him and the crowds that would frequently form around him. But a woman whose little daughter, in Mark 7:25, we hear, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast out the demon out of her daughter. As many pastors, including myself, have tried to explain Jesus out of what is happening in this reading, I refuse to bail Jesus out this time. Because this is what he says next. In Mark 7:27, he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Yes, Jesus called this woman, this Gentile woman, he called her and her little daughter dogs. This is what he said. And it's not a reference to a wordplay for a cute puppy or anything like that. He comes out and tells the woman, "I've been called to the children of God, the people of Israel, and they will be my first priority. You dogs can wait." The Gentile woman would not let her faith be denied. In Mark 7:28, she answers him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." This statement makes a mark on Jesus. And there are a couple of reasons why this Gentile woman talked with Jesus in this way. She might have just been reacting to what Jesus said of her and her daughter, and her inner mama bear was released. I don't know about your family, but I know at the Schrader house, if one of our children are somehow threatened, Missy's mama bear comes out. She has told me more than once, it's a different thing if someone's picking on me or making me feel uncomfortable, but if I see someone going after my children, this mama will protect her babies at all costs. But rather than lashing out at Jesus, the woman of Syrophoenician origin helped Jesus take inventory of his ministry and his words. It reminds me of the struggle others had with God that we have witnessed through Scripture. Jacob wrestling with the angel of God, and Jacob not letting go until he received his blessing from God. Abraham bargains with God and asks that if he finds a certain amount of people who were found righteous, would God spare them? Abraham keeps bargaining with God until the number comes, or starts with 50 and comes down to 10. This back and forth negotiating between Abraham and God saved Lot's family. Even Mary, to a certain extent, had to put Jesus on the spot to get him to begin his ministry at the wedding of Cana. Even though Jesus didn't think it was his time or his responsibility to turn water into wine. This brave Syrophoenician woman has faith in God, has faith in what Jesus can do, and uses that faith in the discussion and puts a twist on Jesus' own words. Recently, we have just spent 5 weeks hearing Jesus say, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the and the bread that I give will be for the life of the world." Today we hear Jesus say, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The way I interpret this, my reading between the lines of her response is, "Look around you, Jesus. Where are those children that you have talked about? Remember, most of them have left." And in chapter 6, verse 66, we hear, "Because of what Jesus said, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him." She is giving Jesus a reality check. She is asking Jesus to look at the people of Israel. "The children you are referring to, those who you want to feed first, they've left you. Your bread has become a crumb, Jesus. But the dogs, we're here. I am the one here with my faith, and my faith tells me I need you. My faith tells me that you are the one true Son of God, and I know that all I need is a small crumb to be forgiven. And that small crumb can save my possessed daughter. I might be a dog, but my faith is in you and our Creator." So, in true Jacob form, this strong woman is saying, "I am not letting you go until you give me and my little daughter our blessing." Now, in Mark 7, Jesus hears her and responds. Then he says to her, "For that you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Jesus responds by saying, "Because of what you said, because your faith enlightened you to say what you just did, it has also enlightened me." Because this is my theory. Jesus had been so focused on the children of Israel. Maybe it was his exhaustion, 24/7 ministry all the time. But he knew he was the Messiah for the Israelites, which created these blinders for him to be the Messiah for the whole world. Now you might be thinking, "Pastor, he's the Son of God. How could he not realize the rest of the world? How could the triune God make a mistake like that?" First off, Jesus was 100% human as well as 100% divine. Second of all, don't discount the work of faith in our lives. Don't discount the work of faith in the life of the Syrophoenician woman, or the faith of Abraham or Moses or Jacob or Mary and others who wrestle with God. Don't underestimate your own struggle and wrestling with God. Look at it this way. If we thought God had everything predestined, our prayers would lie flat and would be rather pointless. We pray because our faith tells us we can talk with God. God is present and God is listening. And as children of God, God can intercede for us. That is the hope that our faith creates. It helps direct and guide us. Look, Jesus came to Tyre, which is that large red dot you see on the map, to get away from the people. Then after his interaction with the strong woman, he heads back, but he could have just head straight south to where it says Galilee, because that's about where Jerusalem is. But he goes north, up to Sidon, around by the Sea of Galilee, to where the line ends in the Decapolis. He heads into the land of Gentiles. Jesus had been so focused on the children of Israel, he forgot about his own words. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Not only Israel. So Jesus goes into the rest of creation, preaching the good news to the poor. He goes to the Gentiles. Jesus is actually rerouted by this woman's faith. Just as the faith of Abraham gave him strength to negotiate with God and saved Lot's family, just as Jacob wrestled with God based on his faith to receive that blessing, just as Mary's faith encouraged Jesus to begin his ministry, this Gentile woman's faith worked to get Jesus' attention and blessing. Now Jesus is making a new way to the region of the Decapolis. Others are at work. They are not named, but a group of people simply known as they in Mark 7:32. They brought him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. Someone in this group of the they had faith in Jesus to bring their deaf and mute friend to this Jewish rabbi for healing. This is the type of work we are called to do. Our faith is a gift from God, and we should act on that faith to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Yet Lutherans always get nervous when we begin to talk about faith and works. One of my favorite Rich Mullins songs is titled Screen Door on a Submarine. The opening lyrics are, "It's about as useless as a screen on a submarine. Faith without works, that just ain't happening." And I understand the nervousness that we feel when we start talking about works. We don't wish to fall into the trap of turning God into a vending machine. I do an act of kindness, and that way God will answer a prayer. I go to church, and therefore God will bless me and my family. That is not how it works. God's grace is for everyone, and we do not have to do anything to receive it. But because we receive God's grace, we get to share it. That is what our faith is for. We are saved by grace through faith. Therefore, we are called to hold the tension of faith and works. We don't have to do things to earn God's grace. We get to do things like love others and love creation because we have God's grace. Another one of the lines from that Rich Mullins song is, "Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine." Why would one write a song which could not be sung? Well, God's love is that song. As we share grace and love with others, like the Gentile woman of Syrophoenician origin and the they group, that is singing the song. That is what we are called to do. Amen.